in 1983. I received a phone call from a very old friend from Fairfield, Alabama. That's where I was born and raised, grew up, went to school, graduated from high school, and joined the Navy, and hadn't heard from this man in many years. But back in 1983, he called me. And he said, "This is Greg Parsons. I remember you." He said, "We're having a big shindig down in Fairfield, Alabama, your hometown. We're going to have a 40th anniversary of our high school graduation." He said, "It'll be on Saturday and Sunday." I said, "Well, Greg, I appreciate you inviting me to come, and I'd love to see all of our old friends again, but I just can't do that. I preach every Sunday, and I just can't give my weekend to this sort of thing." He said, "Well, that's the reason I called you. I knew you probably couldn't come because you were a pastor." But he said, "We're going to have the U reunion on Saturday night. And then we're all going to the First Methodist Church in Fairfield, Alabama, and you're going to preach to us." I said, that's a white horse but another color. I'd be glad to do that. That'd be wonderful. So I was there, and the Lord gave me a message to preach. And it was quite an interesting meeting. But I preached a message that I'm going to preach tonight. That's the reason I brought this up. I reached down in the archives of my messages and I took out that message. "It is finished." That's the title of the message. And I plan to bring that tonight if you would be interested in coming back and hearing a message that the Lord gave me to preach to all of my friends. And after I graduated from high school and was discharged from the Navy, I worked at a steel mill for about 6 months. But that's my family and friends, and the Lord let me preach to them. It was quite an honor. I bring that message tonight, the Lord willing, on "It is finished." But this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And this is a very simple message. But you know, we're exhorted to remember in our preaching the simplicity of Christ. Profound, but when God gives a person ears to hear and eyes to see, it's simple. The message of grace. Let's read beginning with Acts 16, verse 25. Acts 16, 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" What must I do to be saved? That question has been asked many times. A rich young ruler came to our Lord one day and said, "Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The crowd at Pentecost, when Peter had preached to them and said that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord and Christ, and they all cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus to persecute more of the people of that way, fell down before a great light, and a voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Our Lord said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And Saul said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" This Philippian jailer, he wasn't under conviction. He wasn't troubled about his soul. He was asleep. These men had been beaten, Paul and Silas, and put in prison. And this man went to sleep. And when God sent the earthquake and shook the prison, the doors came out off. He thought the prisoners were gone, and he was responsible for them, and he just knew that they'd killed him. So he got his sword and started to kill himself. And Paul cried with a loud voice and said, "Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he sprang in and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now let me answer this question. What must I do to be saved? Let me answer this question with Scripture. The answer is not. There's nothing you can do. If someone asks you, "What must I do to be saved?" and you answer in such a fashion, you're in error. Because our Lord gave an answer to everybody who asked him that question and everybody who asked that question. That rich young ruler who came to our Lord and he said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord answered him. He didn't say, "You can't do anything." He said, "Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And this man walked away very sorrowful because he had great riches. But the Lord answered him. And then at Pentecost, when these people heard Peter preach, saw the rushing mighty wind and the speaking in other languages, everybody heard the gospel in his own language. And then Peter said, "This same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath raised from the dead and made him Lord and Christ." And they cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them, "Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You'll receive the Holy Spirit." He answered them. He didn't say there's nothing you can do. Saul of Tarsus, when he was smitten before God, blinded, and the Lord said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." "Well, what, Lord, what should I do? What would you have me do?" And the Lord answered him. He didn't say there's nothing you can do. He said, "Arise and go to the city, and it'll be told you what to do." And then this jailer that we're talking about here, this man said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered him. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he took them that night, washed their stripes, and Paul taught him the word of God, preached to him, and this man was saved, baptized and his family also. So when we consider, I know this, what must I do to be saved? I'm going to answer that question. The Lord answered it. Peter answered it. Ananias answered it. Paul answered it to this jailer. But when we consider what salvation is, there are plenty of things you can't do. I know that. I've been preaching long enough to know that. There are plenty of things you can't do. In other words, salvation is a new birth. A man can't born himself. The scripture says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born. Not of the will of men, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but born of God. I can't do that. What must I do to be saved? I can't born myself. You can't either. Secondly, salvation is a resurrection from spiritual death. Scripture said, you have been quickened, awakened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you being dead in your sin, hath God quickened. Hath God quickened together with Christ and forgave you of your sin. I can't do that. Only God can do that. Raise a man from the dead, give him life eternal. Thirdly, salvation is to know God. To know God. This is salvation. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, to know God and be known of God. But can you, by searching, find out God? No. Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? No. It's higher than heaven. It's deeper than hell. What can you know? Not a thing. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. That's the power of God. Man can't do that. And fourthly, salvation is to be washed. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So salvation is to be born again. Can't do it. Salvation is to be raised from a spiritual grave and made a new creature in Christ. You can't do that. Salvation is to know God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal it. Can't handle that. Salvation is to be justified by God, before God, by faith. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then what can a sinner do? What must I do to be saved? I'll give you five things. Number one, a man can admit that he's a sinner and take his place before God as a guilty son of Adam. You can do that. You can admit you're a sinner. The Pharisee came to the temple to pray. He said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I fast, I tithe, I give alms. I'm not like this publican. But the publican took a whole different perspective of this thing. He came before the Lord in the temple to pray, and he would not lift his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast, and cried, God, be merciful to me. You can do that, can't you? God, be merciful. But our Lord said the Pharisee went home condemned. The publican went home justified. He took his place as a sinner before God. The Canaanite woman who came to our Lord, she said, Lord, have mercy on me. He didn't even answer her. She said, Lord, have mercy upon me. He said, it's not right to give the children bread to dogs. She said, that's true. I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. I'm your dog. And dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord Jesus said, haven't run into faith like this yet. Good. She took her place as a sinner. True, Lord. Is it true? You know it is. Thief on the cross. He said, I'm getting what I deserve. But this man done nothing amiss. Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Our Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. A man said to John Newton one day, I suppose, Pastor Newton, that the greatest obstacle to our being saved is our sinful self. And Newton replied, no, no, no. The greatest obstacle to your being saved is your righteous self. The Lord delights to save sinners. Your sins will keep you from Christ. Your sins will not keep you from Christ, but your righteousness will.
Amen.
Your sins will not keep you from Christ, but your righteousness will. Because the Lord said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. A sinner, one old Puritan wrote, a sinner is a cherished thing. They're hard to find. The Holy Ghost has made him so. He's set apart. He's guilty. 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 God saves guilty people, not righteous people. So I can do that. Take my place before God, the sinner. Secondly, if a person desires to be saved, he can seek the Lord. He can seek the Lord. Now turn to Acts 17, just one page over in Acts 17, and listen to the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 17. Verse 24. Acts 17, 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord. All men of all blood and all nations seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. The Bible does not say a man can't seek God. It says he won't. It says he won't, but it doesn't say he can. Can't. Men will not seek God, but they ought to. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And Jeremiah said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Lord, lead me to seek thee. And seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and love thee to serve thee with all my heart. But lead me to seek the Lord. There are many examples of people who sought the Lord. The wise men from the east said, where is he that's born King of the Jews? Because they knew it, seeking the Lord. The Greeks who came to the disciples, they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. We didn't come to see you, fellas. We came to see Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. She wasted everything on all kind of physicians, but they couldn't help her. And she sought the Lord. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. The eunuch, he journeyed all the way to Jerusalem. Got him a copy of the Book of Isaiah. He'd gone to the feast and spent 3 days listening to those Pharisees, heard nothing, didn't know a thing. Started home reading Isaiah 53. God sent Philip alongside that chariot, heard him reading. And Philip said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "I can, except some man show me." So he stepped up in the chariot and preached to him Christ, seeking the Lord. He went all the way to Jerusalem in a covered wagon to seek the Lord. And he found him. The Lord found him. True men, truly wise men. The wise men said, "Where is he?" Truly wise men will seek the Lord. Truly wise men will seek the Lord. They'll seek him. How, preacher? How would I seek the Lord? In his word. Become acquainted with the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Seek him in the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not singing. Not hope to do. Not social gatherings. The preaching of the gospel. That's how God. Seek the Lord in the preaching of the gospel. Seek God among his people. You know, Ruth came to Naomi. She said, "I'm going with you." Naomi told her, "No, you go back to your people, back to Moab, back to the heathen you were raised with." She said, "Your people are going to be my people. Your God's my God. Where you live, I live. And where you die, that's where I'll be buried. I'm going to find him." And they, truly wise men, seek the Lord in his word, in the preaching of the gospel, among his people. And they seek him sincerely. Sincerely. Now here's the third answer to this. What must I do to be saved? If a man desires to be saved, he can ask God to save him. Of course, simple, isn't it? Ask him. Our Lord said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. You have not because you ask not. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened." Old blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside begging. Big crowd of people. Christ walking by. And Bartimaeus said, "What's going on?" And a man said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. "Jesus!" he cried, lifting up his sightless eyes. "Jesus! Have mercy upon me, Son of David! Help me!" And the Lord stopped. And the Lord sent for him. And he came. And the Lord said to him, "What do you want? Why are you asking me for me?" He said, "Lord, that I might see." What a good question. "Oh, Lord, that I might see." He said, "I will. Made him whole." Ask him. The leper, when our Lord came down from the mountain, a leper came running. He wasn't supposed to approach the Lord. He wasn't supposed to even move in the shadow of the Lord. He wasn't supposed to. That was against the rules, the old laws and rules. A leper could not have anything to do with anybody. He'd cry unclean and run. But he came and fell at his feet. You know what he did? There's nothing you can do. "Oh, yes, there is, too. Lord, if you will, you make me whole." He said, "I will be thy plan." Hannah's testimony went like this. "The Lord maketh poor, and he maketh rich. The Lord brings us low, but he lifts us up. He does it. The Lord raiseth the poor and needy out of the dust, and exalts the beggar from the dunghill, and sets him among princes, and makes them to inherit a throne of glory. Ask him, and he'll grant it." Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory, both now and forever." Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, all that we suppose, he's able. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I will be thou clean. A sinner can walk in the light he has. That's the fourth thing. A man can walk in the light that God gives him. There's a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God said that. There's a light of nature. Let me show you some things here. Turn with me to two or three scriptures. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 1, there's a light of nature. Listen to Romans 1, verse 19. Verse 18, Romans 1, 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God has shown it to them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So you're without excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. There it is. There's the nature. God did all this. God created the world. And these things of nature are things for us to build upon. Then there's the light of conscience. Listen to Romans 2, verse 15. Romans 2, 15. Listen. The light of conscience. In Romans 2, verse 14. "Now when the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathen, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law..." We know the law. "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." They know these things. They know. You watch your little children. I watched my little great-granddaughter the other day, and she went going to the cabinet and getting some chocolate. Nobody was in the room. And Doris came walking in about that time. And she spun around and saw her. She went... Conscience. The light of conscience. The law written in the heart. Listen. Verse 15. "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts." Their conscience. Also bearing witness, their thoughts meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. There's the light of nature. There's the light of conscience. And there's the light of the written word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is light God has given us. Let's walk in it. Let's receive it. Let's submit to it, the light of the nature, the light of conscience. And then 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. "And from a child, Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." The scriptures that God gave our children are memorizing verses of Scripture. And that very thing, that's Timothy's mother and his grandmother taught him the Word of God. And from a child, Paul said, you've known the Holy Scriptures. You've known them, and they're able to make you wise unto salvation. A person does not have to be a theologian to be saved. If some preacher just cannot get that through their mind, that you don't have to be a theologian and know all of the old Puritans and all of this, that, and the other, the different superlapsarianism and ultralapsarianism and all the other lapsarianism. You just don't need to know those things. Lord, that blind man said, Lord, I do believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I tell you this, with the command, he said, help my unbelief. And he helped him. With the command comes the power to do it. With the command comes the power to do it. Our Lord, one day, there was a man had a withered hand. His hand had been ruined from birth, disabled, deformed. And our Lord said to him, stretch out your hand. He couldn't, but he did. With the command comes the power. Our Lord came upon a man 37 years, an invalid. Couldn't walk a step. And he said to him, take up your bed and walk. He couldn't, but he did. In fact, he leaped and praised God. He couldn't. No, he couldn't. But with the command comes the power. With the voice of Christ comes the power. He can make it live. He can make them walk. He can save them. Ask him. One day the disciples had been fishing. Well, they'd been casting the nest. They never caught anything. Never caught a thing. Faced all night long. Never caught a thing. And the Lord walked up. Our master did. And he said, children, have you caught anything? Not a thing. They're washing the nets. They've already quit trying. And they washed the nets. The Lord said to them, put the boat out a little further and throw your nets. And Peter, bless his heart, he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, we've been doing this all our lives. We've been fishing. I hear this for all our lives. We fished all night, caught nothing. Nothing. Nevertheless. Oh, there's a nevertheless. 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 At your word, I let down my net. And when he let down the net, they brought it in. The nets broke. So many fish. That's the word. Nevertheless. This is that. This is the others. This can't be done. That can't be done. Nevertheless, if I were, I believe. It's real. At thy word. All right, here's the fifth thing. The fifth one. If a person really desires to be saved, he can look to Christ. He can look to Christ. Our Lord said in Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. And there's none else. He said, look to me. And somebody said, but I don't see anything. He didn't say see. He said, look. A whole lot of difference, isn't it? He didn't say see. He said, look to me. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of it. Jonah was down in the belly of the fish. There wasn't too much light to see by. You talk about darkness. The bars were about me forever, he said. I can't see anything. But then he said this. I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. What is the holy temple? It's where the mercy seat is. It's where Christ's blood is sacrificed. It's where the high priest went. Where the forerunner is entered in. God said, I'll meet you there. Look.
Look.
Not see. I may be blind, but I can look to Christ. I may be blind, but I can look to Christ. And looking to Him, He'll enable me to see. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And die. That's saying that Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Therefore, you come and lead us.